Hey, after class with Tim and Trudy, we're talking about today's lesson on second birth. Trudy gave the lesson, but we're going to start with you anyway, because I started talking first, so you get to talk second. What really stood out to you when you were teaching this lesson? What really resonated with you?
Well, it was a hard lesson to begin with, I thought, for me to do. And part of that was what I explained in class is sometimes it's hard to articulate something that has been so much a part of our Christian culture that we don't stop to question and say, you know, what does this mean? And be able to articulate that. But then at the same time, it was hard for me to pull together thinking, is this going to be like teaching kindergarten to a bunch of high school seniors? Are they going to care? You know, so it was, and there was so much material. So it was really hard. But I ended up really enjoying the study that I did on this and just the parallels of where all of this went, comparing a baby being born, that Jesus used that metaphor, and just how incredibly brilliant that was. And this conversation and picking Nicodemus, the type of person that he was, all of that combined together in just such a concise few verses. Jesus does like a gazillion different things in there with that exchange. And I just enjoyed that.
Yeah. And especially since you're going after, I mean, the point really here is that you can't be moral enough to be born again.
Right.
And that's who he was. He was like super moral. He was super pious. One of the Pharisees who were all after all that. And so in contrast to other people in scripture, you see who aren't like that. Was there anything, I'm sure there was, because we've talked about it, something that you didn't have time for? Because we had to pack a lot in there.
We did. And I was talking really fast. And I kept editing down because I knew my time was going to be short. But there was a little story that Tim Keller uses in his book that I liked under the section where we're talking about two of the things that come through birth is repentance and new identity. And under the new identity portion, he told about St. Augustine, who I gathered had a very promiscuous sexual life before he became born again, before he gave his life to Christ. And he later went back to an area where he had had many sexual relationships with a particular woman, and she saw him and greeted him happily. And he was kind to her, and he, you know, was polite and pleasant, but nothing went beyond that. And she was baffled and perplexed because he was different. And she finally just said, "Augustine, it is I." And he just looked at her and said, "Yes, I know, but it is no longer me." And I just thought that was neat under this whole new identity thing of it wasn't just a new improved. He was a new person. He was transformed, not just a reformed guy. And he was a totally different person. And that was brought out really beautifully in that story.
Yeah, right. I think that whole section on identity was probably the thing that resonated with me most. And I kind of felt in the room at the time that it was resonating with others as well. As you took through the story of the woman, the other story that Tim Keller told about the woman and how she had based her identity on these four different things. I thought that was a really good story. And I thought just the whole piece of identity was you know, your identity is received, not achieved, and all of that was something that really resonated most. Now, other thing that kind of stood out to me was when you were talking about the new sensibility, and what was the phrase I said you didn't say?
What you see wins over what you hear.
Yeah, what you see wins. You didn't say that, that I remember. What you see wins over what you hear. Because you were talking about how our focus, when you're talking about the new sensibility, how our focus is on all these other things. But when our focus changes to God, you know, you can be, and I don't think you saw me when you mentioned, have you ever been in the room? You said something about, you ever been in the room and somebody's right by you and they don't hear? And I looked at Sawyer and I went, no, that's never happened.
Yeah, that's why I think I mentioned, like, if the TV is on or something, but, you know, what you're watching, you're so focused on that somebody can be talking next to you and you just don't hear that. And so much of that changes, as it should, when we become this through go through this second birth.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that was left out?
Again, how Jesus pulled this together was just so brilliant in his analogy, and it just pierced my heart all fresh and new again of his analogy of his death and his sacrifice with a woman giving birth, and how he uses that scripture verse in John that she has pain when her hour has come, but after the baby's born, she forgets because her joy is so great. And he's saying, hey, that's me. That is me. I am going through this pain, this suffering. I'm going through this death, but I have such joy that you have new life through my death. And it just was very poignant to me as I was going through preparing for this lesson.
So you feel differently about the subject matter after you've been through?
Yeah, I did. I complained a lot to you about the subject matter going into this. It's like, you know, why does a bunch of people who are, you know, Christians for the most part, they come to church, they're coming to Sunday class, for goodness sakes. Are we going to be talking about being born again? You know, it just seemed, what do we have new to share? What is there to, you know, it's just like blah, blah, blah. We've heard that before. And it was just a difficult lesson for me to get into. And Tim Keller's a deep author, too. So it's not light reading, I don't think. You're wading deeply in there and having to, I've got to get my brain around something. I have to have it really resonate in me and make sense to me so that I can articulate it when I'm teaching. And that was a lot there. But boy, I enjoyed it when all is said and done.
Yeah, this is pretty basic, but he always deals with things in kind of a deep, profound way.
Yes.
And the other thing to remember, we talked about it last week, is some of this is for us who have experienced the second birth to kind of get a full understanding of it through these analogies, through, you know, what it is. But the other part of it is to understand where people are coming from who have no knowledge of what it means to be born again. Mm-hmm. And kind of the point you made at the beginning with our society thinks of it this way. Even people who are call themselves Christians, people who are Pentecostal, who have attended Assembly of God Church, or they've been in some other denomination for a long time, think about this wrongly. Think mm-hmm. about it as something that they do, put all the actions behind it. Now, we're going to go on and we're going to talk about other things where actions come in and you have to grow from this point, because if the baby's born and they don't grow, then there's a problem. So we'll talk about that. But the actual birth itself, and that's why last week was important, talking about first birth, so that you can have that understanding. There's this similarity between the physical first birth and the spiritual second birth.
All right. And that was some of the comments we got after class, was them enjoying the analogy of the fact that when a baby has absolutely nothing to do with its own conception and its own birth, they do nothing. The mother does all the labor. The mother does all the work. The mother does all the sacrifice. The baby is born. That new life happens to the baby, but it's all through the work of the mother, not the work of the baby. And so many times, I mean, those statistics at the beginning of the class, you know, told you that. I'm just kind of repeating that again, I guess, but just to let that sink in, that you can't work your own salvation. You can't work your birth into being. You can't be good enough. You can't be moral enough. You can't work hard enough. You can't be accepted enough. And that's what those statistics were kind of dumbfounding to me, that, you know, over half the Christians in our churches today don't have a correct, clear understanding of what it really means to be born again. It's still very much a work-based mentality. I got to be good enough.
Okay, so we have this knowledge and we've brought this kind of understanding. And what do you think the takeaway is? What do we do with this? Talking about doing things. What do we do with this understanding of what the second birth is all about?
Well, I think the first thing you do is you examine your own heart. You examine your understanding, you know, have I, because I think, I mean, I was like that as a kid. We were in church no matter what. And I would have bet $1 million that I was a born again Christian until about the sixth grade. And I heard a similar message and realized, yeah, I've never come to an understanding of any of these things. There hasn't been a repentance. There hasn't been a faith because I'm a good moral person and God likes good moral people. So of course I'm going to heaven. So that light bulb moment has to come on where this Holy Spirit illuminates within you this truth and you make that change, you know, you make that turn.
And then?
And then what? What do you mean?
You have that understanding and you have to, but then what?
Well, it's what we talked about in class. You have the repentance, you have that belief, and then next week you're going to be talking about...
There you go. Well, I got you there.
And we're going to... And that's what was I wanted so badly to get to it this morning in talking about Nicodemus, because Nicodemus comes up again at the end of chapter John, yeah. The book of John, at the last chapter. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get a little bit of glimpse of... Because we're not told in this encounter in John chapter 3 what Nicodemus does with all that Jesus tells him. We really don't see that. Mm-hmm. And we're not told explicitly later, but you get a little hint, you get a glimpse, and that kind of ties into what happens after this second birth, then what? And that was that question I said I wanted to ask. How do you know it's happened? Well, that's kind of where we're heading next week.
Okay, so next week, how do you know it's happened? That's one of the things we'll talk about, so... Join us then. Thanks for staying after class with us. We'll see you next week.